All right. So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First, I apologize for us starting a little bit late, and thank you so much, Nolan, for joining us by phone.
No problem. Glad to be here.
614-535-7174-138. 614-535-7174-139.
Be quiet. I'm sorry. I just said I'm really glad to be here. I hope our connection holds up.
I think it will. We are being streamed live on ACB Radio, so let me take this opportunity to welcome everyone from ACB Radio. I'll start with a very brief introduction, and then for the first part of the program, and for much of it, I'm going to turn it over to Nolan, whose brainchild this is, and I'll add some things perhaps as we go. For moral support, up at the front table, I have Larry Turnbull from ACB Radio, as well as Denise Colley, a Board of Publications member. So what I want to say to start with is that increasingly people have needed to find alternative ways of making audio newsletters available for their affiliates. Part of the reason for this is that cassettes are becoming almost as rare as hen's teeth, and cassette players are getting almost as difficult to find, though I suspect NLS has some they could sell us. The bottom line is that the traditional way of communicating with blind people, which is essentially using audio, didn't seem as easy or as accessible. And for many affiliates who are looking at ways of communicating with everybody who's blind, the question is, how can you easily produce and then distribute a newsletter in audio format that is going to be not only not so expensive that it breaks the bank, but also easily accessible, easily produced, and perhaps most importantly in these times, inexpensively produced? It was to answer this question that we decided to put together this particular Board of Publications workshop. And to start us off with some initial thoughts, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a member of the Board of Publications and someone who has hit the street running in terms of our newest member, but also has taken over some immense responsibilities for our website task force and has done so much other work that is so commendable. And the person whose absence at this convention has been sorely missed, but the president as well of the Ohio Council of the Blind, Mr. Nolan Crabb.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be with you. If for any reason you have difficulty hearing me, please speak up and let me know that. There's nothing worse than being in a meeting and having that meeting conducted by this disembodied voice out there whom you can barely understand. It's just really a drag. So if we have difficulties, don't hesitate to say something. And I will pause appropriately every now and then to give you an opportunity to speak up as is necessary. Paul has done a great job laying the groundwork here for what we're going to talk about today. And audio newsletters are always kind of a tough thing to deal with because for every person you ask about how to best do it, you're probably going to get multiple good answers. And that's a wonderful thing. Choice is never bad. But its downside is that it can lead to some real confusion. And we want to try to take some of the mystery and fear out of that process for you today, if we can. I'm proud to tell you that the Ohio affiliate does, in fact, produce an audio newsletter. It could probably be better narrated, I intimately know the guy who narrates it, and
he lives
that would be me.
He lives at your house, huh?
Yeah, that's right. He's very, very close to me. But all kidding aside, you know, it's a lot of fun. And that's the other piece I want to make sure you try to carry away with you today, is that the audio production of these things does not have to be drudgery or difficult. There are ways that you and I can make this kind of come together in a relatively easy manner. I want to begin by talking with you about some software possibilities, and then we can talk a little bit about some hardware possibilities and maybe a combination of the two. I'm not sure how much time I have, so if someone wants to just speak up very abruptly and loudly and tell me to hush up, whatever that's necessary, I will do that. Also, it's not my intent to in any way diminish the interactive nature of what I hope this meeting will be. Just because I'm not there in person, I think you and I can probably still have a fair amount of interaction as we go along here.
And Nolan, I will communicate any questions so that we can be
okay.
Sure you heard them okay. So that'll be fine.
And you're feeling fairly confident that I'm reasonably understandable?
Well, we'll ask the audience. Is Nolan understandable?
Yes. So far.
So far, yes. Everybody says fine.
So far. Where is that cynic? get into the front of the room because he's right. Okay.
And the stream is good as well, Larry says.
Well, good. I'm certainly honored to be part of that stream as well this afternoon. So let's talk a little bit about software first, if we may. There are some interesting possibilities out there. First of all, before we even do software, one of the things that I would do if I were an editor of a newsletter would be to look around my affiliate and see whether there is an audio geek in it who would be willing to help do some of the production. How is one defined as an audio geek? Well, usually an audio geek, if you'll forgive my use of the term, and I use it loosely and not in an effort to offend.
Yeah, because you're describing yourself.
I'm talking about myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to have wrong myself here. Usually he's a guy who perhaps dabbles in audio file creation at some level, may not be a professional at it. In fact, most folks in your affiliate will not be. It's unlikely that you will get a guy who's been in the broadcast industry 40 years and who knows everything there is to know about this sort of thing. Most of us are fortunate if we can find somebody who sort of dabbles in it. But almost inevitably, that person exists within our affiliates. And in fact, I won't do it, but if I were to poll this room right now, I dare say that all of us could think of at least somebody who knows his way around a piece of software or a piece of hardware that will qualify him or her as an audio geek. I'm certainly not trying to make this gender specific.
Well, let's ask him. Let's ask him. Hold on. Is there an audio geek in the room?
I guess I can consider myself one.
Yeah. So we think there might be two or three.
Yeah, they're out there. They really are. Regardless of how small your affiliate is, I suspect you can find them. But again, you're not looking for a GeekWiz professional. If you're going to do that, you would already have the money to pay for that kind of thing, and that's what we're going to avoid today. So, having found our production guy, and by the way, your production guy doesn't have to be the same thing as your editor. In Ohio, for example, there are three of us who do a lot of the heavy lifting. We have a editor who does the real heavy lifting, and she then passes copy off to me that gets narrated, and I then pass it off to Erwin Hott, who actually takes care of the audio production. And if he were here, we would actually have him speak to that, but I'll cover it with you in just a bit. So now that we've found our audio person, whomever that is, we're actually ready to press forward with the newsletter. Let's talk about narration first. I know you're all thinking, well, wait a minute, shouldn't I be talking about how to record the narration? Well, we'll get to that. First thing we want to talk about is how we get it narrated. What are some of the options? Well, obviously, you can do what a lot of us do, and that is have someone with some vision just sit down and do a quick rip and read. And I use that term to mean they sit out, go through the pages of your printed newsletter, and just read it. Slam, bam, it's all done. Mistakes and all. And if there are mistakes in it, too bad. It's just a newsletter. Who cares? I'm hopeful that you will try to find a way to do something slightly better, at least, than try to volunteer, rip and read. Let's talk about that. What do you see as being some of the other ways in which you could get someone to narrate your product or your newsletter?
So the question is, what do we see as some other ways that you could get people to read your newsletter rather than the just letter rip print guy? So it's a question. Who'd like to answer?
Is anything happening in your affiliates that enable you to have someone read that? How are you getting your newsletters narrated now?
There is deafening silence here. Very good. Thank you. So,
okay. Got that. Got it.
Very good.
Great. That's one excellent way to do it.
Hold on. We got another response. Yes?
Okay.
Yep. Wow. Yep. So Audley Lucas from New Jersey, Nolan is saying that.
Yeah.
Were you able to hear her? Not really.
Yes.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. I'm impressed.
That's very impressive. That's a good infrastructure, and certainly you have my commendations for that.
We in Florida send our newsletter actually up to our Talking Book library, which at least up till now is prepared to record our newsletter in pretty decent turnaround time with a series of, quote, professional, unquote, narrators, and then throw it onto cassette and send it around to all our members at no cost.
Once again, that's very impressive infrastructure.
At no cost to us.
That's really commendable. That's probably the exception to the rule in most of our smaller, especially our smaller state affiliates.
Yeah, you're certainly right. And any other approaches that affiliates are taking that we should know about? Very good. So Ms. Lucas is saying that they actually duplicate their cassettes at her house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Doug Stimp. I am with NDAP. I am the former editor of our promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And to my immediate left here, it would be to your right, as you're looking at us.
Yep.
Yes.
But
the way that I do it is I read it off the there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I work.
So you guys do it directly onto the cassette tape, and then you make copies.
We make cassette copies from there. Just try to find somebody to fix Tellex dubbing machine. That has proven to be quite a challenge.
Very good. All right.
Yep, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Very good. So you just broadcast yours on the radio reading service?
That's what our goals are.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Murdoch.
Outstanding. Any other? I don't want to cut anyone off. I didn't.
No, let's go on.
Okay. All right, thanks. Well, first of all, you guys have done, already many of you have done incredible jobs of creating a really good infrastructure, pardon me, and making this work in your area. That's highly commendable. And by the way, there's no wrong or inferior way to do this. I hope you'll carry that away with you. The reality that cassettes are dying is something that we are all going to have to face, and not later. I mean, it's here now. But if you're still narrating onto cassettes and duplicating, and that's working for your people, well, then that's great. You need to commend yourself for that work and carry on. But it won't last that way forever, unfortunately. So now let's talk about just how we get this thing narrated. A lot of you are actually reading it or having it read by volunteer narrators. That's fantastic. You could, in worst case situations, have the material put into a Mac computer and read by that voice synthesizer. Now, I know the whole room's going to erupt in a chorus of no, no, no. And that's why I suggested to you that...
They didn't, but they're laughing.
There's now this streaming exodus. I can just picture it. It's only a suggestion, but it is one that can work if you really, really find yourself unable to get the thing narrated by a human being. I think in all the studies I've seen and the anecdotal data that I have, the vast majority of our newsletter readers would prefer to hear a human narration. And so that's what I'm going to focus on today, is the human part of that, rather than having it read by a voice synthesizer. For some of us, that would be okay. I'd be okay listening to a Mac,
but I think,
or even an iPhone.
And I think
we
need to say that the days of robotic-based synthesizers that are very difficult to listen to, especially if you want to speed them up, have actually gone. For a lot of people who like to listen to newsletters, there are voices available that are really very good, and the reason I think, and Nolan will correct me if I'm wrong, that Nolan suggested the Mac is the voice that does, quote, voiceover and other speech jobs in the Mac that most people now use is a guy called Alex.
That's right.
And he is really one of the most human-sounding synthetic voices that are out there. Earlier this week at this convention, I demonstrated some others. Most of them, unfortunately, are British. But these are ones that you can actually get directly from your iPhone in another program. The point is, though, that I don't think we're far from the place when it will actually be possible to use synthetic speech for recording and not be ashamed of it.
That's right. We're very, very close. I mean, Alex even breathes between sentences.
Yep. And Larry is saying that we should also mention the speech vocalizer and some of the speech engines that Freedom Scientific is making available with JAWS now.
Correct. The other thing that you can do as you record your newsletters, if someone in your affiliate already has a copy of Kurzweil 1000, it can take that file that's been created by your editor and create what's called an MP3 audio file using the voices in the Kurzweil, and they're pretty good. Paul and Kate are the neo-speech voices, and they're not terrible. They're not terrible.
No, they're quite good.
And you could, in a real pinch, use those voices to create MP3 versions of your newsletter for distribution.
And the next version of Kurzweil will almost certainly contain the two new neo-speech voices, one of which is Julie and the other is Bridget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so there are now choices. That's all I'm trying to suggest to you.
Hold on.
I know some of you here. Go ahead.
There's a question from the audience. Yeah? Yeah, there are a number of good a cappella voices
wonderful.
As well. Yep.
Yeah. In fact, I believe it's Read to Go, the Bookshare people. Their iPhone app uses, I believe, a cappella Heather.
Yes.
As one of the voices.
It's Heather and Ryan. Heather and Ryan.
That's right. Exactly. So the point I make with that is not to geek you out or bog you down in techno whatever. Because some of you are thinking, I wouldn't even know how to make that work. And I'm not here to try to make this more confusing. But I do point it out just as a way of reminding you that you have digital choices if you can't get it done by human hand. Pardon me. So now, let's spend a moment on a couple of scenarios. I'm going to assume that you're actually going to read this, have a human being read your newsletter for now. That means that you can do it one of three ways, essentially. The first way is to do it the way someone has already suggested here in the room, and that is to simply sit down in front of a cassette recorder and narrate your products. Just put the thing on a master tape. And that's fine, folks. There's no shame in that. As long as that continues to work, great. But as we pointed out numerous times, the day is coming when it won't.
Right,
so we move on to.
And you want to be sure, if you're going to do that you've got a decent mic and that you're using a fairly decent tape recorder, because
absolutely,
there are some cassette newsletters that come out that are pretty difficult to understand, and I think that's largely because people aren't using high enough quality microphones in particular. I think the one thing that I would say, if you are going to record on a cassette player, expend a little bit of money and buy a higher quality microphone so that the quality of your recordings are better.
That's a brilliant perspective. And don't use the built-in mic inside that cassette machine. They're never good enough to really do a good job. Even though the old workhorses, like the old APH handy cassettes, pretty decent microphones, but you're still going to get a fair amount of noise. Why is that a problem? Because when you copy that tape, you're also copying all the inherent bad stuff with it. And you can sometimes magnify the bad stuff as you make those duplicates. And that becomes worse than it otherwise would be. So let's spend a moment with you and talk a little microphones that work. For the Ohio newsletter, I use a phone-microphone combination made by Andrea Electronics, A-N-D-R-E-A. And it's a stereo headphone, although they make a mono or single headphone version. And I believe I've paid $30 for this microphone. It has two standard-sized microphone jacks at the end, one which plugs into the headphone jack of your PC, the other which plugs into the microphone jack of your PC. Another version of that same product has a connection that plugs into one of the USB ports. USB means one of those flat, little slot ceiling kind of ports on the side or back of your PC. I prefer the round jack connectors just because they can be a little more versatile, and I can actually use them with something like the APH recorder if I want to record with that, or I can use them with another piece of hardware. The USB connector is good, very good, but it is limited to use with the computer only. So you need to think carefully about the kind of connectors that microphone has when you buy it. The Andrea is a very bright mic. In other words, it puts out a lot of high treble kind of sound, so you'll want to adjust your reading somewhat to it. It is the microphone that Nuance uses in all of its installations of Dragon Naturally Speaking. So if you go out and buy a copy of Dragon, which is a piece of software that lets you talk to your computer and have that material appear on the screen, which is not very accessible without some third-party help. But if you go out and buy a copy of Dragon, chances are really good that it's going to come with one of these Andrea microphones with it. I use it only because it's relatively inexpensive and reasonably high quality. There are others out there. I suspect, since Larry is in the room, Larry probably has forgotten more about microphones than I will ever learn in 10 lifetimes. And so Larry is probably a good resource in terms of knowing about decent, portable microphones that do the job. If any of you know Rick Parman, Rick is a member of the Ohio affiliate. He has helped do some of the reporting this week. And Rick also is
Did we lose you, Nolan?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
I'm sorry.
We thought we'd lost you for a minute. So we got up. We got up to Rick Harmon, who's done some of the recording this week.
Yes. Is he with us? He may be in the room there.
No, not.
Okay. Well, my point is that he's a good, solid, knowledgeable expert on microphone usage and uses several different ones. So he would be a good resource. But there are lots of them out there that are fairly inexpensive. That will do the trick. I don't recommend you go to a computer store and buy a $9 microphone. It's not going to be very rugged, and it's going to probably be hard to use or create a circumstance where your P's pop and your S's sound funny, that kind of thing. So, enough about microphones. Any questions about the actual microphones before we move on here?
Nope, go.
All right. We put you all to sleep, and that was my goal, and that's great. I wasn't going to have done it this early. Okay. So the point is, you want to get a relatively inexpensive microphone, not a super cheap, piece of garbage for under $10. All right, now that we have our microphone in place, let's talk a little bit about how we get that information into a computer for, the actual recording. There are several ways to do that. The most expensive way, and I'm going to cover it first, because most of you will reject it out of hand, but that's okay. At least you'll know it's out there. And I'm only going to touch on it very briefly. The most expensive way is to use a product called SoundForge. F as in Foxtrot, O-R-G-E. And Larry's in the room. Maybe at this point he's shaking his head, rolling his eyes, saying, "Nolan, buddy, why are you even mentioning that?" I do so only briefly because it is a workable solution that a blind audio person can achieve and work quite well. I know Larry uses SoundForge. I believe even Paul has used it to some degree. I've used it a great deal. And it's the reason I bring it up only briefly is that you'll pay probably at least $150 for a copy. And so most of us are going to opt for not using that solution.
It looks like you may have disappeared again, Nolan.
I'm here. Can you still hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Whoops.
Okay. Here.
All right.
I'm not sure what's happening. I have very sporadic service here.
All right. You're good. You're good now. Go.
Okay, good. All right. So that's a potential solution. The reason I bring it up is because it is so easy to use on the keyboard. Yes, it includes a lot of bells and whistles you will never, ever need in terms of newsletter production. But it can independently be used, and that has some merit. It, for example, works just like a word processor in terms of editing your material. So let's say
You're fading in and out, Mr. Nolan.
Let me get to a different place. Hold on.
Doom, 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 doom.
Hang on.
Hanging.
Sorry.
Hanging.
I'm going to try to go up to a different level and see if that makes
sense. It's kind of you to
say that again.
It's kind of you to climb up onto the roof.
Oh, that's my next resort, yeah.
Actually, you're good now, Nolan.
Except that there's quite a pitch to that roof. I don't have to resort to that. Okay. To give you all just a quick notion, I am visiting my daughter and son-in-law, and they're in a very secluded part of the state of Utah where cell service is difficult.
But you're good now.
Okay. We're okay now. All right, let's get back to it. So we've talked about SoundForge.
Well.
And we've all decided that it's a little expensive. And as a result, we probably won't buy that. But what I was telling you is that, let's say you narrated and you made a mistake. This is so easy because you can simply move the cursor. Actually put the cursor in front of the mistake and mark the mistake with the keystrokes and then tap the delete key and have them disappear. So there are some real advantages to editing that way. So that's just one option. Are there any of us in the room who are familiar with or are using SoundForge?
Are there any folks in the room who use SoundForge aside from Larry and I? Or Larry and me, excuse me.
Okay.
Someone says a little. I guess I would throw in one other program that's a little less expensive and maybe a little more accessible and doesn't contain quite as many bells and whistles, but I think would be fine for recording the newsletter. And that's a program that's actually produced by the American Printing House for the Blind called Studio Recorder.
Brilliant. That's where we were going next. Good job.
There you go. So I'll let you go there then.
No, you're doing fine. Go ahead and talk about that one, actually.
So the main advantage of Studio Recorder is that the controls are relatively simple. The inputs and outputs work well. I don't know that I would say that it does nearly as well if you're trying to produce high-quality stereo recordings. But particularly for monaural recordings, which is what you want for your newsletter, because for the most part you're not going to be producing it in stereo unless you get awfully ambitious, and I don't think most of you will. The monaural capabilities of Studio Recorder are really very good, and the interface is very intuitive. There's not a lot there that you don't need, so the learning curve in terms of learning to use it is probably a little better than it would be if you started with a product which is as complex as SoundForge is.
It's a good point and an excellent summary. It, too, can you hear me okay, everybody?
Yes.
Okay. I've moved to a second level. There's a third level in this house, so if we get things get ugly, we'll go there. Studio Recorder also allows for complete independent editing by a blind, visually impaired user.
Yep.
And so that's very important for some of us who really want to do it ourselves and not rely on having someone do it.
And it's $200 from APH.
Yeah, yeah. There's a third software option, which is even less expensive, and it's workable. It gets the job done. And that's called Gold Wave. And I will confess that I've not used Gold Wave extensively. I have played with it to some degree, and it's very keystroke capable. Again, in other words, if you were a totally blind user, could edit your newsletter audio very nicely with it.
There are a lot of blind people who use it.
Yep. And I think it runs around $50 or so, Larry, if you know that answer.
I think that's right.
I think that's right, too.
Yeah, we both agree.
It's around $50 and does a good, credible job. Now, at this point, one or two of you are about to mentally bang the table, if not literally, and say, for crying out loud, is there not something free out there? I can't afford all this stuff. So the answer is, yes, there is a free product out there that will get the job done, and there are a fair amount of resources that can help you learn how to use it. This is called Audacity, and it's just spelled exactly the way it sounds. Audacity is a free MP3 file creator. And they've worked pretty hard in recent editions to create a product that is really quite accessible to blind and visually impaired users. It's totally free. It does not have massive amounts of bells and whistles, but chances are pretty high that you're not going to put a bunch of reverb or other stuff into your newsletter. I mean, let's be honest here. You just want to crank out a product people can use. So So Audacity is free. Now, let's talk about where you learn to use it, because there are some, you know, it's a learning curve. You're going to need to know how to make it work from an accessibility standpoint. The Blind Geek Zone website, which again is Rick Harmon's website, and it's blindgeekzone.com.
All one word?
All one word.
So
includes
BLINDGEEKZONE. Yes?
Hey, I'm sorry. Thank you for that.
Yep.
That site includes some resources on how to use Audacity from the perspective of someone who needs to use it with a keyboard. It's not going to be perhaps the easiest product to use, but it is free. And it will work with a variety of different kinds of microphones. All of the software that I've described to you so far today are for use with Windows PCs. This is not a Mac. These aren't Mac products by and large. So that just gives you a kind of an idea, and I don't want to take a lot of time and talk about keystrokes and what you do to get this
right.
piece of action, because that'll just bog you down. But you need to at least know that these products exist, and that you can use them,
and that they're relatively easy to use, and that. Mm-hmm. And that you can at least conceptually think of them as being used in the same way that you would use a cassette recorder, only you can do things much more accurately and without as much noise or click or whatever that you used to get with cassettes.
And do you just download Audacity, or where do you get it from?
Do you know
download Audacity, yes.
Do you know their website?
Yeah, sorry.
I do not.
I don't remember the website, and I don't have it in front of me, and I beg your forgiveness. I had all this, and it's at work. If you do a Google search for Audacity, if you do something like along the lines of Audacity editing software, you're going to come up with the right one.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, almost certainly Audacity MP3 file creator will.
Good point. And again, the Blind Geek Zone site will perhaps link to it. I don't remember whether he does. But he's got some good resources up there on how to use it. So those resources will certainly link to it if he doesn't do so directly.
Even though it's a little outdated now, Freedom Scientific does sell a product that was recorded by Jonathan Mosen on learning to use SoundForge.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, that's correct.
So let me repeat that for everybody. And thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
It's blind-geek-zone.net.
Thank you so much. I apologize. I appreciate that. You're thinking, well, if you got the name wrong, have you ever been to the site? And the answer is I really do go there. He does lots of tutorials for all kinds of different things on that site. I don't remember whether ACB main menu, the ACB radio main menu archives, have a program that deals with Audacity, but it seems like they do.
I think we did one a long time ago, but it wasn't a really long one, was it, Larry? I think we did a demo, but not a tutorial.
Yeah, I think maybe
okay.
You actually did. And I also have located where to get Audacity.
And that's
okay.
Audacity.sourceforge.net.
So let me repeat that.
There we go.
Audacity, period, SourceForge, SOURCE. SOURCE.net?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, try to remember that this is not going to be instant learn. There is going to be a bit of a learning curve with it. Don't get discouraged. Don't, fling it in disgust. and to say, I'll never be able to master this, because you can. You could even use an iPhone to initially record your product, but that's a little more complex and probably is outside the scope of our discussion today, I think.
Yep.
So let's talk about now some hardware things that we can do. We've talked about way of review.
We have a question. Yes.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is there a source editor for the Mac that is accessible, is the question.
You know, there is, but it's not cheap. I'm not aware of a freebie. And Larry, jump in if you think I'm wrong here. I have a dear friend who uses something called Pro Tools for the Mac, but it's ultra expensive, as I recall. It's like a couple hundred bucks or something.
It's even more than that.
Oh, yeah, it's probably higher. But it is totally accessible.
No, as a matter of fact.
So the short answer is no. I don't think there's anything.
It's actually a lot better than it was. There was a time soon after VoiceOver came out when Pro Tools was simply not accessible. Period.
It's totally so now.
But it is considerably better now.
As I said, I have a friend who uses it constantly.
Larry and I both think that it's pretty expensive. We both think it's close to $500. But it is a wonderful piece of software.
954-375-6145
FL USA. Oh no, I'm
here. Good, go ahead.
What's the matter?
We're good. Somebody else is calling me, and we're going to ignore him.
Ah, sorry. And how much time do we have? Can you remind me, please?
We're about 20 to 25 minutes away from ending.
25 minutes away?
Yep.
Done. Okay. So we have to be out of here in 25 minutes. Is that what you're telling me?
I think that's what I'm telling you. Because we've got another meeting coming into us immediately after. Yeah, we could get shot by Artist Basin, which could be very painful.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. That's too scary.
Let me spend 30 seconds mentioning one other thing, since we're talking about recording, and maybe you were about to go here, and we'll see if I'm predicting for you. There are a number of devices out there, as well as software, that you can use for recording. And the one that I am really high on at the moment, while it certainly isn't the cheapest, is in my opinion, in many respects, extremely good. And unlike our advice earlier, the internal microphone of this particular device is actually pretty good. And this device is called the It's made by the American Printing House for the Blind, and it's called the Bookport DT. One of the things that I really like about it is that it combines at least some of the features that are built into software editors into the approach that it takes to recording, so that it allows you to do and people who've used software will know what I'm talking about here. It allows you to do both append and overwrite, which means that you can go back and fix your mistakes, and it also actually allows you to mark stuff and remove it. The nice thing is that it's almost like using the old cassette recorder for recording, only the quality of the recordings that you end up with are far superior.
That's exactly where I was going next. But way to go. This is really good. It's as if Paul and I had planned this for months in advance. So it's kind of cool. And maybe we did. We won't tell. Okay. Let's see. I, I'm about to get some room noise here. Tell me again about our time limit. Are we out of time?
Well, no, we're not quite out of time.
Okay, 20 minutes.
I suppose the other thing that I would say is there are a lot of small recorders out there as well, like the Olympus, and maybe you'd like to talk a little about some of those, Nolan?
The small digital, yeah, let's do that. Let's spend some time with those. There are some, as he said, some small... I'm going to get some serious room noise here for just a second. I'm sorry. There are some small voice recorders that are on the market that would actually be helpful in terms of getting the job done for you. The Olympus is quite good, and that's because they have speech capabilities associated with them that let you actually hear what knob your button you're pressing and how it works and what it's supposed to do, et cetera. I don't use the Olympus products. I think there are probably people in the room who do. And we can certainly address those in greater detail. But they are out there, and people have them and use them.
And the main point that I think that we're all wanting to make is in the old days, you used to essentially say that most of the time, if you were looking at a little tiny recorder, a little tiny cassette recorder or a micro cassette recorder or something like that, you could almost be sure that that product was not going to do the trick.
Right.
With digital recorders, that really is not the case. The Olympus, which you can certainly carry around in a pocket without any trouble, is actually good enough to do the recording of your newsletter.
Let me talk to you very quickly about along those lines. There are some iPhone apps. If you already have an iDevice, an iPhone, an iPad, whatever, that will enable you to do these recordings for relatively inexpensively if you already have the device. One that I use a lot and that was recommended to me by another blind user is something called Voxy Pro, and I'm going to spell that. It's V as in Victor, O, S as in X-ray, I-E, Pro. And Voxy Pro, I think, costs something like $2.99. That's $2.99, as I recall. And it is really quite accessible with an iPhone to an iPhone user who uses VoiceOver. I've done a lot of conferences and meetings with it. And the problem that you're going to have with it is that it creates files that are not MP3. So that is going to create a circumstance where you're going to have to either convert that, find a way to use that file and just automatically burn it to a CD, which I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with you on, but we need to talk about a little bit because distribution is
well, and I guess that's really the question that we ought to spend a little bit more time with. So let's leave the input side of things, and with what I hope is a feeling for most of the people here that there are a range of options out there that actually make it possible for folks for relatively small investment to get the equipment to produce high-quality audio newsletters. So now we're going to make the assumption that we've done that. We now have our audio newsletter, and the question becomes, how do we get that audio newsletter to our members? And again, there are some options. So, Nolan, why don't you start with the first one, and then I'll perhaps chime in with the second.
A couple of ways you can do this. One of the things that I wholeheartedly recommend to you is that you find a way to make this as easy for your members as possible. What you don't want to do is create a circumstance where your newsletter can't be played on whatever your member has. So For example, you could create an MP3 file, which is an audio file, pardon me, only to learn that your member can't play that on his old CD player that he has in the house, an old boombox, or that he has somewhere else, out in the workshop or whatever. So you want to, when you do this, make sure that they can be played in a fairly universal way. One way to do that is to actually take that newsletter file that you've built and burn it to a CD using a product such as Windows Media Player, which is free but not super usable or accessible, in my opinion. Anyway, I mean, it works. It's okay. But it takes a little time to get it to burn the way you want it to burn, etc.
Yeah. Larry is suggesting Nero Express.
Yes, that's the better solution. More accessible.
And there is a free version.
Yep, there is. And you could even use iTunes if that's the only thing you had to create that CD.
Yep.
But I think Nero Express is probably the best option. And I believe that's spelled N-E-R-O, if I recall. And that's certainly the best option in terms of ease of use and all of those things.
It does.
And it will create... Go ahead.
All of the menus on Nero Express don't read entirely perfectly. But all of the segments that you need in order to burn a CD do.
Yep. And the nice part about it, folks, is that it creates a universal CD that will play pretty much anywhere.
That's
so
correct.
If your member has got something that is almost as old as a MP3 player, you'll be able to tell you that your newsletter using that product. So you can always try to get distribution as easy as you can. So that's one option that you'll want to think about. And Paul, did you want to talk about another way to distribute?
Well, if you're not looking at really high production qualities, this is where you're going to have to get your audio geek involved a little bit. But when you're not looking at really high production qualities, one of the options that you have is not only creating a CD, which would end up with a pretty high quality recording, but also creating an MP3 file at a relatively low quality, which means that it won't take a lot of space, which means that you can actually email it to your folks and they can simply play it on their computers if they have them.
Exactly. Another thing you can do is just put your MP3 file up on your website if people have the savvy to download from there. But most of your members, frankly, probably won't.
You can set it up.
Now, I hate to be...
Right.
Go ahead.
You can set it up to play from there, though, and you can send a link in the email that you send out, which makes it a little easier.
You can click that link or hit that link on your email, and it will actually begin to play the newsletter. And that's your goal, is to make this as painless as you can. Otherwise, you're
fading out again. Hello?
Oh, no, just fell. I guess I didn't need that all that bad anyway.
All right. So, very good. So, those are two ways of distributing the newsletter.
In Ohio, we actually created a DAISY version, believe it or not.
Right. I was just wondering if to go there. So, we really are on the same page. The advantage of creating a DAISY version is in the approaches that we've talked about so far, you don't even have really the level of navigation that you used to have on a cassette, which you could at least do fast forward and rewind on, depending on what you're playing a single MP3 file of your newsletter on. You're going to have virtually no navigability. So once your person starts to listen to the newsletter, he better settle down for the long haul, because that's what he's going to do. With what DAISY does is it allows you to create files where it is easy for you to navigate from article to article, and where it is also really easy for your listener to get an idea of how long each article is and a range of other things. You can actually, if you're creating a CD version, break your newsletter up into articles and put each of those articles on track relatively easily. So you can get some of the navigability that you would get from a DAISY file by creating a CD which you divide into tracks. Well, there are a lot of programs out there to convert. One of the nice things about the piece of hardware that I talked about, which is the Bookport DT, is that it automatically builds DAISY books. You have to finish the process, but once you have a DAISY book, essentially you've got all the navigability that you need. And you can even go back in and put in breaks and headings and that kind of thing, which is one of the real advantages that the Bookport DT has, because of the degree to which you can actually create a DAISY book, which amounts to what Nolan is talking about with his newsletter, all with that single machine. DT, desktop.
And Studio Recorder also can create DAISY file.
It sure can. And in fact, if you buy a relatively less expensive and not one I'd recommend use without a microphone product from Freedom Scientific, which is called something Pocket. PlexTalk Pocket, yep. The PlexTalk Pocket also includes with it free a DAISY editor on CD. So there are a range of options that you can do that. And somebody asked how much the Bookport DT costs. My belief is that it's about $450. And the PlexTalk Pocket, which will do very good recordings that are editable, is exactly $275. And the Bookport Plus from the American Printing House, which can also do the same thing and looks virtually the same as the PlexTalk Pocket, is about $340. Yeah. And Larry is saying if you really want to go high-end and really do a good job of creating DAISY recordings, you can think about the PlexTalk PR2, which is just under 1,000.
And there's a software package from IRTI called
Eclipse
Reader.
There is. Yeah. There is, and that's the other thing we should certainly say. IRTI stands for Innovative Rehabilitation Technology Incorporated, and it makes a product called Eclipse Writer, which is a DAISY file creator and a DAISY file reader, and it runs about for the full package about $650. Okay, we are getting near the end of things. Let me ask folks if they have particular questions for Nolan that he can try to answer in the last few minutes, and then I'll let Nolan also wind up with some final thoughts if he'd like to in just a few minutes.
I have a question.
Yes? This is Norma Bogie from Iowa.
Okay.
Well, what Norm is saying is there are a lot of people who only have access to NLS talking book players and no one's mentioned cartridges. There's a very good reason why, and that reason is that at least at this point they're too expensive. Yeah, the cheapest you're going to find them is about $8 a pop. So we certainly can't give them away free like we do our cassettes. We could set up a program where folks would return them, and it's certainly possible to create the kinds of files that are required for this particular task. The difficulty, though, is there's an awful lot of labor involved in processing people returning their cartridges and getting them out, and I think it's going to be pretty complicated for you. Nolan, anything to add about cartridges?
Yeah, I think you've covered it nicely. I also think the problem, somebody in the group is going to stand up and say, well, why not put these on cheap thumb drives?
Uh-huh.
And you can do that, but then you run into issues of whether those will work with a specific player. And it just becomes really kind of a jungle out there when you start trying to figure out how to use what kind of connectivity is going to work with some of those cheaper. And then the thumb drives are still not very cheap, really, for...
Correct.
For even for the small ones, you're going to pay enough that you'll want it returned.
Probably two,
a distribution issue.
$2 or $3 at a minimum these days.
Yeah.
So it's still not anywhere near as cheap as cassettes used to be.
Right.
CDs are very inexpensive, which is why they're still being considered as the primary medium for producing products like this one. Yep. The question. Go ahead. Somebody else had a question? I thought. Well, the file type that NLS uses is a strange one. It's called 3GP. Most file converters can take an MP3 and convert it to it and vice versa. So it doesn't necessarily add a lot of time to the process. What does add a little time to the process and a little complexity to the process is if you are going to create a BARD-ready book, it is necessary it's necessary to take your files and add a number of other specific files to them, and including a file which is like a table of contents that tells your files where to put breaks and that kind of thing. Yes. It does. I'm sorry, Roger, I misheard you then. And thank you, Kim. Yep.
Any other questions?
Other questions. All right. I hear the herd.
I hear the herd
gathering outside the door. So
can we very quickly give contact information so that if they have additional things, they can get a hold of
you? Sure
me
can.
Or you? Or
you sure can. Go.
Would that be appropriate?
Go for it, sir.
Okay. Real quickly, I don't know if you prefer a phone number or an email address, but let me give you an email. And that's going to be Nolan, and that's spelled N as in November, O-L-A-N, then a period, then the word crab, C as in Charlie, R-A-B-B as in Bravo, Bravo. No uppercase anywhere. It's all Nolan, period, crab, @ gmail.com. And certainly feel free to use that address. I will do my best to try to respond to you and help any way I can.
Mm-hmm. Any final two or three sentences, Mr. Crabb?
No, except to thank you all for being patient with me. I know this connection isn't always easy to understand, and I'm grateful, Paul, to you for allowing me to connect this way. This has been helpful, and I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate your being here. Thank you, Nolan.
All right. Take care.
You're getting a round of applause here. And Larry is saying, and we'll pass it on. In fact, I should really pass him the mic. But what Larry, who is the executive director of ACB Radio, is saying is anybody who produces an audio newsletter now If you will send it to us at ACB Radio, we will be glad to put it out there for other folks. And that also creates another way that your folks can listen to your newsletter. I think the last thing that I would say is to thank Denise Colley for providing moral support up here, and to thank Larry for all his work in making this exercise work as well as it did. Obviously, we haven't treated you guys as an audience well, and that we didn't even let you tell us who you were. But we very much appreciate your coming. I would guess there must be about 20 or 25 of you out there. And considering how what other things are going on, that's a real tribute to your spirit and appropriateness. So we thank you very much for being here. My contact information is EDWPAUL, EDWPAUL, or EdWPAUL, at bellsouth.net. And if folks do have questions, feel free to send them along to me. Producing audio newsletters it sounds more complicated in the last hour and a quarter than we think it actually is. What we hope that you'll go away from here feeling is that if old farts like Paul Edwards can do this stuff, surely I can. Thanks very much.
All right.